Chapter 8, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Audiobook.
Katherine Kellgren has narrated more than 250 audiobooks, and she's won a number of Audie Awards over the years, which are kind of like the Oscars for audiobook narrators, or maybe the Grammys, more appropriately. And she's done kids' books.
Jane had a stuffed toy chimpanzee named Jubilee.
Historical fiction.
Kelsey woke with an aching head and a parched mouth. But it wasn't until breakfast.
Young adult and science fiction.
The space-time continuum was a chaotic system in which even a minuscule action could have...
Granted, she has a beautiful voice and a fantastic ear for mimicry, but still, it's the kind of unusual job that makes you ask, how did you end up doing this?
Well, when I was a child, I used to listen to a lot of audiobooks, and especially as a sort of teenager, I got very into listening to the old Cadman recordings of Sir John Gielgud doing Shakespeare. And to me, he was like my everything. You know, he's like my, I don't know what, Kanye West.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them.
When I got older and I studied acting, I lived in London for a long time. And when I moved back to the States, my dad was ill. He had Parkinson's disease and he couldn't read anymore. So I spent a lot of time reading to him. And in fact, when I was in London, I made my very first audiobook for him. I found a detective author that he really liked and just bought myself a handheld tape recorder and recorded the whole book for him so he could have someone read it to him. And then when I got back, I read to him a lot and I suddenly thought, wait a minute, a lot of the reason that I became interested in acting in the first place was through the spoken word, and I'd really love to do audiobooks.
Tell us a little bit about the process, how you choose books, how you're chosen for books, or how you actually do it. You read the book, you record it.
Well, the process is, once if I'm lucky enough to be cast in a book, I get the book and I read it at home very slowly and thoroughly. And I'm making notes of any words I need to look up pronunciations for, any accents that I might need to work with. I have a dialect coach that when there's a particularly difficult accent or two that I work with. And then once I've done that, I go through and I highlight each different character with a different color of pen. So if you have five or six people speaking on the same page, you can do their distinct voices and really attack the text without thinking about it.
You are 28 today, Diana, and as an older woman have reduced marital prospects.
Don't be such an old crotchet, Redbreast, said Diana. I dare say someone will come along.
I use an iPad when I'm reading. I work from a paper script so that I can make all my pencil marks and use the highlighter pens, and then I scan it and create a PDF, and then I work from a great big iPad so I can blow up the page as big as possible and not have the engineer have to pause for page turns. And then usually when we're in the studio, depending upon the book, I can read around 100 pages a day, depending on the sort of text, sometimes
that's,
more, sometimes less.
Sounds like a lot.
It's tiring. I mean, you need a lot of stamina for it. I mean, usually you go in about 10 in the morning, finish about 5:30 at night, and you've got a lunch break and a couple of tea breaks. But literally, I'm asking permission. Oh, can I have a sip of tea? You know, you're on all the time. And you have to pay complete attention all the time. If not, it shows in your eventual performance. So it's a tiring thing to do. But I love doing it. But it definitely requires... I'm exhausted at the end of the day when I'm done recording.
Does it help you to kind of, I don't know, form the picture of these characters in your head? How do you come up with their voicings?
Yes. I mean, again, every narrator has their different process. So I'm not the only one who highlights characters, but other narrators don't. But that is something that I do. And I do, I mean, I... first of all, we'll write down or make a note of anything the author says that describes the character physically, how old they are, if it is a book set in England or another country, what sort of social class they are. Sometimes I'll even think of actors that I love or old recordings I'll draw from. There's a wonderful actress, I'm sure you probably know her. I think she passed away in the 1970s, called Dame Edith Evans.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a very deep voice like that. And she was known for being in The Importance of Being Earnest and saying the line, "A handbag." And I had this recording when I was a child and listened to it so many times. I practically memorized the whole play. And any time there's an old dowager with a monocle who is disapproving, it's always Edith Evans gets trotted in and I imitate her voice.
"I know nothing, Lady Bracknell."
"I am pleased to hear it. Ignorance is like a delicate, exotic fruit. Touch it and the bloom is gone. The whole theory of modern education is radically unsound.
But basically, I see my job as trying to get it as close to how the author would imagine it as possible. So I take my cues from them.
Talk about pacing. When you're reading, is there a sort of ideal speed that you're going for?
I think the text itself dictates the speed at which you read. And part of what's important about narrating for me is trying to pick up on the dynamic the author has set in the book. And the book will dictate how expressive you are. It's one of the reasons I love doing children's books. The characters are much bigger. You get to ham act a lot more when you get to be a talking cat or, a dragon. And there's certain books that I have habits. For instance, I just recorded a biography of the singer, quote-unquote singer, Florence Foster Jenkins.
The terrible singer.
Yes, right? Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Famed for being absolutely abysmal. And, for instance, when I was recording that book in the morning to keep our spirits up and give us inspiration, me and the engineer would listen to her recordings just to kind of remind us what we were dealing with. They are inspirational, her recordings, I have to say. So it just depends on the book, but I do develop little tics and habits.
So now we have more and more books being published each year, and I would think there'd also be an increase in the number of audiobook narrators. What does the competition look like in the business?
Well, the wonderful thing about the industry is that it's growing exponentially. And I think there is room for all sorts of different narration, narrators. Lately, it seems to have exploded. And there has been a kind of move towards people with home studios. But publishers are still willing to spend the money to hire a studio and hire even a director for audiobooks. But it's changed a lot in the almost 10 years or so that I've been recording audiobooks. It used to be that every book that you did had a director, almost everyone. And now it's very rare.
What does a director add to the process?
A director just kind of would rein you in, help you if you are, your pacing seems to be a bit off, or you've slipped out of a voice. Also, it's a sort of terrifying business in a way, being alone in a booth with the responsibility of recording a book, because here is something that an author has poured years of love and attention into, and you're kind of flying by the seat of your pants in a sense. I'll do as much research as I possibly can, but then once you're in the studio, you just have to let go. But I find it an enormous help to have another set of ears besides the engineers.
Well, thank you so much, Catherine, for speaking with us today.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Catherine Kellgren, the award-winning narrator of more than 250 audiobooks and our guest narrator for this episode, which is just about done.